Shavua Tov, Rabotai, today's daf in Masechet Nazir, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Yud Tet. So we'll just once again review the complex sugya that we had before. We have basically a four-way machloket about when it is that the person begins his new Naziris in the event that he was Nitma. Originally, we started off with a rather simple machloket between Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda and Rebbe, and that was the question of whether he begins on the seventh day, and that he just has the tiglachat, or whether he actually begins on the eighth day. Now that revolved around the question of what does it mean when it says in the Torah unnecessarily, "Vikidash et rosho bayom hahu." What is the bayom hahu? Now remember that that pasuk is referring to the actual bringing of the korbanos. And this Gemara has a beautiful opportunity to understand the meaning of the psukim in the Parsha of Nazir. So we had a pasuk that said, V'yasa kohen echad l'chatat v'echad l'olah v'chiper alav me'asher chatah ala nefesh v'kidash et rosho bayom ahu. Now this pasuk follows the pasuk that says to bring bayom hashmini, your carbon, to the kohen. And it says that then the kohen should bring yechad l'chatas v'yechad l'ela, and then, after that, v'kidash et rosh nizro, et rosho bayom ahu. So on the surface, the pasuk seemed to be saying that you can only begin your new naziris after the asa kohen yechad l'chatat v'yechad l'ola. The point, however, is that if that were the case, why would it say bayom ahu? Obviously, it couldn't be on a different day, could it? So therefore, we understood, according to this, that the bayom ahu is coming to add, this is the way Rebbe understood it, and that the bayom ahu is coming to add that the din in the restarting of the naziris is a function of the day and not a function of the korbanot at all. So this was the way that Rebbe had understood the sugya. Masha Enkein, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Huda, he understood that the Bayom Ahu cannot be referring to the eighth day, and instead the Bayom Ahu was referring to the seventh day. That it's Stavka telling us that you can even begin before bringing any of the Korbanos at all, and not even getting to that day. Because according to him, since it said beferish v'chiper alav me'asher chatah ala nefesh, it could have just said v'kidash et rosho. Since then it says also bayom ahu, it must be referring to a different day, and it's even adding the seventh day. Those were the first two simple approaches. Then we had a further machlokas between the chachamim, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. So according to the Chachomim, the idea is that the Bayom Ahu is indeed coming to add, that you have less than what appears in the Pasuk, but it doesn't mean that only the beginning of the day is what's Koveya. It means that that day is Koveya with a minimal Korban that you bring. So what would the minimal be? The minimal would be the Korban Chatas, out of the three korbanos of the two korbanos ha'of, which is the oila and the chatas, and the keves, which is the asham. The reason that we leave the keves out is because, let's look at the next pasuk. After it says, v'asa kohen echad l'chatat v'echad l'olah, which is referring to the birds, and then v'chiper lo me'asher chatat l'nefesh, it says immediately v'kidash et rosho. Only in the next pasuk does it even mention that there is a keves. There it says, Vezir Lashem et Yemei Nizro, Vevi Keves Ben Shnato LaHasham. So obviously, the Keves Ben Shnato LaHasham is something that could be brought after he already was Vikidash et Rosho, Bayom Ahu. So what is the Bayom Ahu coming to tell me? Not that you don't need the Hasham, but rather that you don't need the Chata, that you don't need the, to bring the, both the Chatas and the Eila. This was the last machlokas that we ended up with. And that is that according to Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, we have the Bayom Ahu to tell me that if you didn't bring your Eila, it would be okay, but you would still have to bring your Arsha. Masha'en king, the Chachamim say, no, it's obvious that you don't have to bring your Asham from the next Pasuk, because it only says V'yizir Lashem, and then Ve'vi Keves Ben Shnato. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka said you could have read that Pasuk to mean Ve'yizir Lashem et Yemei Nizro, because Ve'vi Keves Ben Shnato Lashem before. And therefore, we do not know that you don't have to bring the Asham. Aye, what about the fact that it says by Yom Ahu? Doesn't that come to tell me at least something is not included? Yes, it does, says Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan Baruch. It comes to tell me that the Ola is not necessary, but you still would have to bring the Chatas and the Osha. So why don't the Rabbanon need the Pasuk to tell me that the Ola is not necessary? And instead they say that the Pasuk comes to tell me that the Osha is not necessary? That, says the Chachamim, is because it's obvious that an Ola is never going to be ma'akev the korban, the kapara, because an eila anyway is called a doron, and the meaning of an eila is that it's brought as a gift to be meratzeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's not actually part of the etzem kapara. So that gives us four shitas: day 7 to begin, day 8 in the morning right away to begin, or depending maybe even the night before. That was dependent on the question of whether you hold Laila's Mechusar Zman in terms of Karbonis L'Gabei Tumah. And day 8, but only when you bring your Chatas, which is the Chachamim. And day 8, but only when you bring your Chatas and your Asha, which is Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, and that was the Machlokas. Now, as far as the question of, according to the Rabbanan, why in the world do we need then B'Yom Ahu, since they're relying on the Pasuk that says clearly Ve'hezir, and only afterwards Ve'hevi. So why in the world do they even need the B'Yom Ahu to tell me that you don't have to bring the Asham, if it's evident from the way that the Pasuk is written? So Tosfos says, because in fact, it's only the combination of the B'Yom Ahu with the Ve'hezir Ve'hevi that allow the Chachamim to say that Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka is definitely wrong, because each one is Megala on the other. That the way to read Ve'hezir Ve'hevi is that you can start even though you were not maybe. And therefore, I need to know actually that the Vayom Ahu is coming to be Megala, that that's the correct way to understand the Pasuk. That's how Tosfos explains it. This brings us up to line 4 of Daf Yotes, and now we'd like to just look a little bit further, both into our Mishnah, and to complete the understanding of the Mishnah, and into the Shitas that we just brought. Mantana, says the Gemara, right at the beginning of line 4, Mantana l'adatan rabbanan, isha shenadra benazir v'nitma, v'yachakache fer la ba'ala, meviyacha tata'ov, ve'ina meviyah olata'ov. This is an interesting idea. Her husband was mefer her naziras after she became tamea. Now, I mean, if the husband actually undoes the naziras, then it would mean that she was never chayev in the korbanos lechora, right? But if the way we've understood the din of the Baal up until now is that the Baal only cancels the neder from this point forward, it shouldn't have had any impact on her korbanos at all. So this is a very strange situation, because memanavshach, I mean, if she brings the chatas, then why doesn't she bring the eila? And if she can't bring in the eila, how can she bring the chatas? Something's fishy about this. So who is the man d'omer that said this strange halacha? Omer of Chista, one thing I can tell you for sure is that if it says that she cannot bring her eila, it's got to be going like Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Because Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka was the only one who said that I need a pasuk to tell me that the Eila is not going to be ma'akev the kapara. So then that means that he obviously disagrees with the fundamental idea of the Chachamim, that the Eila that's being brought by a Nazir is only a Doron be'alma, like a standard Eila. He says no. It is obviously not a standard Eila. And the proof of the pudding is that the Torah is mechayev for the korbanas both an Ola and a Chatas, and says on both of them, v'chiper. And therefore, if we wouldn't have had that special limud, according to Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, namely, the Hayt Bayom Ahuh, then I would have said that you actually need to bring your carbon Eila, which is incredible. In other words, that means that he views the Eila as being an integral part of the Seder of the Nazir's carbon, and not just a tag-along as a doron to the carbonas, but actual part of the kapara. So therefore, if we find that it says that in the event that her neder was canceled by her husband, that she does not bring that Eila, then obviously this Mandiyomar holds that that Eila is not just a gift, because what do I care if she brings an Eila? That's a gift that she had already set aside at the time that her Naziris was still in effect. So what's wrong with bringing a gift? I don't know, she can always bring an Eila as a gift. So what are you saying? She can't bring her Eila? That doesn't make any sense. It can only make sense according to Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha. Now, that still doesn't make sense, but at least it gives us an opening. I mean, it doesn't make sense because why now is there a difference between the chattas and the oila? How can you bring a chattas if you can't bring an oila? I thought it's like even crazier to bring a chattas, isn't it? I mean, an oila you at least generally can bring without actually being chayev, but a chattas? So how do you explain that? Explain what the Svar of Yishmo ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha is. I mean, the most important issue is to discover whether when the Baal was made for the Naziris, did he actually cancel that Naziris all the way from the beginning so that retroactively there was no Naziris? Or is he assuming that the way that a Baal's Hafara works is only from this point forward, which is called Megiz Gaias? He cuts it at that point. So let's try to analyze that. Micah Sofer, what would Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher of Yochanan ben Brocha? I agree with you. Obviously, it's only making sense according to Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher of Yochanan ben Brocha. But what does he hold that allows us to understand the differentiation between the chattas and the eila? Ika Sofer Baal Mi'akir Akar. If he holds that a Baal basically does the same thing that a Chacham does, meaning that he disconnects it from the very beginning, it's retroactively not a neder, and therefore, she never was a Nazira, and therefore, she doesn't need to bring any kind of carbon, which explains why she doesn't bring the Eila. But then, how could she bring the Chattas? So the Chattas Ha'ov Namilo Leiten. And if he holds, the way we've been assuming until now, according to the normative approach in the Sukkis, is that the Baal is Megas Gaias, and that he cuts off the Neder from that point forwards, but that would mean that actually, she was a Nazira, and she did become Tmei'ah in the Nizirut, and therefore, okay, so she has to bring the Karbonas. I mean, the fact that from this point forward, she's not a Nizirut doesn't change the Chiev that was Chal on her. And therefore, if he holds the Baal as Megiz Gaias, then she should bring not only the Chattas, but she has to bring the Ola. Because, I mean, after all, his Etzem Shita, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, is that the Ola is a actual critical component of the Kapara. I shouldn't say critical, because you could manage without it, because it's a Pasuk Beyom Ahu, but it's certainly an integral part of the Kapara. Answers the Gemara. The truth is that the fact that he says that she can't bring the Eila proves that she was never in the Zira. And therefore, Leolam Kasava Baal Miyakaraka. Now, you're asking me, well, if that's the case, oh, for sure she can't bring a Korban Chattas, right? Wrong. Because Rabbi Yishmael holds in this one issue like Rabbi Lazar HaKapar. Rabbi Lazar HaKapar, remember, we've had many times, is the one who says that the point of the chattas of a nazir is because he deprived himself of the pleasure of wine. And that's why he's called a chayte. And therefore, the very fact that she did so is mechayev her carbon. Whether the husband afterwards retroactively revoked it or not is basically irrelevant because, look, a korban chattas ha'ov, remember, once it's set aside, can be brought in circumstances that you can't bring any other chattas on. Like, you can't bring a chattas if there's a suffix, because there is a suffix chulin la'azara. But when it comes to a chattas ha'ov, as we've seen many, many times, we have a very unique situation, because a chattas ha'ov is the one korban that nothing of the carbon is put on the Mizbeach at all. We simply do the Zrika. And therefore, there is no problem of bringing a Chattas Ha'of Mitzad HaSafek. You just can't eat it because it might be puzzle, but it certainly you're not doing anything wrong by putting something on the Mizbeach that doesn't belong there. Therefore, in combination with the fact that she's a bad girl for not wanting to drink wine and therefore deserves to be mechaper on herself. And she's already set aside this karma chatas. And the alternative is we're going to treat it as what, a chatas habesa, because it was a chatas that wasn't mechuyev. It's crazy. You might as well bring it. And it's coming for a purpose. You're not doing anything wrong. It's not putting it on the mizbeach. So Mamela, he says, okay, so then go ahead and bring the chatas, but not the oila. The oila are going to be putting on the mizbeach. And this is not an oila ledorim. This is an oila that is specifically for purposes of dealing with the halacha of a nazir. What was this famous halacha, Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, that we've spoken about so many times? Or just to remind you, the Tanya, Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, Baribi Omer, Ma Talmud Lomar V'chiper Alav Me'asher Chata Al HaNefesh. In what sense is a nazir sinning against his soul? What did the guy do, B'sach HaKol? All he wanted to do was to become more holy. What he did wrong was that he put himself in a position where he's not going to be able to enjoy wine. And that is a tremendous limud for you, says Rabbi Elazar HaKapar. V'kal v'chomer, imagine to yourself that there are people who believe that they should be ascetics, and that that would be the best way to be Oved HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, look at this halacha. It's a kal v'chomer. If the Torah is calling an individual who was unable to drink wine, he was chote against the soul. So imagine the kind of person who thinks he's doing God's service by making himself suffer and not eating Ben and Jerry's. Somebody's putting himself into a position where he's, you need to really limit your joy in the world. Don't eat anything that's yummy. So that person, as the Rambam brings, the halacha, is definitely, that's not the derech of Hashem. And he's off of the derech Hashem. Wait a minute, says the Gemara. How does Rabbi Elazar HaKapar say that? If that pasuk about me'asher chatal ha'nefesh, that's talking about a nazir tamei. I mean, the idea of the bringing a korban from Nazir Tamei was because he became Tamei. That was the Chatei Al HaNefesh. I mean, if it's the question of the deprivation, why then does it talk about a Nazir Tamei? It should have said that in a Nazir Tahar. We're talking over here, we didn't talk about Tuma, we're talking about a woman here, and you're telling me that it's part of the din of the Naziris Bechlal, and I don't feel Nazir Tahar Kamrinat. What you're saying is an explanation for Nazir Tahar, but that's not where it says this pasuk. We're saying this woman, we're going to bring it not because she was chayef for tuma, because she wasn't chayef for tuma, because the Baal, after all, was me'aker aker, but, she was a bad girl because she didn't have any wine. Well, the truth is that Kesavar Elazar HaKapar Nazir Tahar Nami Chotim. He holds that the gilui of the Torah, which appears, indeed you're right, Asher Chatal HaNefesh appears in that pasuk of Nazir Tameh. But the fact is that the Torah is b'chayev v'chatas for the Nazir. So the reason that it mentions the aspect of what the chet is, dafka b'nazir Torah, is because he's a super bad boy. Oh, v'shana b'chet. Because this person, he loses his original yamim, nah yamim rishonim yiklu, and he ends up becoming a Nazir for a long time, and that is mamish, an extra special tsar, and maybe even have karata, as we spoke about according to the other shitas, with Shimon HaTzadik. In any event, this is a terrible situation, but it still is a fundamental gili that you are responsible for self-deprivation. And that would explain. You can't bring the oila, because the oila is coming for specifically the dinim of that Nazir Tameh, which she was never, because the Baal was oikeret. But once she was already mafrisha, the korban chatas, our alternative is what? Is not to use the chatas. We'll use it because anyway, it doesn't go into mizbeah. Let's get back to the Mishnah. So getting back to the Mishnah, we understood the Mishnah because we explained all of the missing pieces. A lot of missing pieces of Mishnah, as we pointed out at the time, was a very misleading Mishnah because it was talking about not bringing a carbon tumah. It sounded like it was talking about a carbon tumah about being in the Beit HaKvarot, which is ridiculous because there is no carbon tumah and being in the Beit HaKvarot. So when we understood, well, it means if you would expose yourself subsequently to a real tumah that would be mechayev you a carbon tumah, you wouldn't bring a carbon tumah because you didn't start your university. Okay, fine. Then we had the other part that says, until you go out of the Beit HaKvarot and you go back in. Whoa! That is totally crazy. What do you mean, until you go out and go back in? What do you got to go back in for? But you start your Nazirus by going back in? That's crazy. And what do you mean until you go out of the Beit HaKfaros? Going out of the Beit HaKfaros doesn't change a darn thing. In order to become Tahor, you're going to have Hazayah, Shlishi, Shvi, going to the Mikvah. What is going out of the Beit HaKfaros? Why is that the point? So therefore, the Mishnah was very misleading. And the Gemara wants to just clarify 100%. What exactly is the meaning? It says, Yatsa v'nichnas olim lo min haminyan. What are we talking about over here? Yatsa v'nichnas, but because you go back in, and then it's olim lo min haminyan, and because you went out, you're immediately okay? What do you mean going out? I never got tahor. How could I start my new Nazirus? Mishum de yatsa. Just walking out is enough? Chalal of Nazirut? That's crazy. No, says Shmuel, of course it's leaving for you to understand that yatsa means yatsa and became tahor. So you left the Beit HaKvarot, and then you did Shayazoya Shlishi Ushvi, so Yizav Shana. And then on the seventh day, you were Tavel, and then you restarted. So then, okay, fine. I mean, it doesn't say that, but let's say it says that. But then why does it say, and you went back in? You're telling me you have to go back in order to start again? How does that make any sense at all? Nichnas? Hu da'olin lo min haminyan? But if he didn't go back into the Beit HaKvarot, then he can't start as Naziris? What does that mean? No. Says Shmuel, the idea over here is lo mi boy ka'ama. You might have thought that all that's going to allow you to restart is that you were Yotze and you became Tahor. But, I mean, if I went back in, even if I became Tahor, maybe that would just put me back to where I started, and I still couldn't count. No, it's coming to tell me, afilu nichnas, olim lo min haminyan. Doesn't matter. The days that you kept Betahira, they count. That's what it's coming to tell me. Which, of course, is not really any kind of real chiddush. But the point is that since the Mishnah immediately after that says, umevi korban tuma, it's the opening to the machlokas between Reb Eliezer and the Chachomim, whether you need a minimum of 2 days. And that's why there is the ability of the Mishnah to say, no, Reb Eliezer says, you need hayomim harishonim, you don't have yomim harishonim. If we wouldn't have spoken about going back in, then, you know, and maybe carbon tumor, then we couldn't have talked about that. So that's where the Mishnah gets back into it. But Enochinami, this particular point is certainly not a real chiddush. I mean, why would I have thought, because you go back in, so therefore you're different than a Nazir, normal Nazir that went into a Beis HaKvaros? A little funny. Omer le Rav Kana Rav Asi l'Rav. So after hearing this lovely explanation that Shmuel gave to his Talmidim and made everybody feel really good about the Mishnah, so they complained to Rav, hey, how come you never explained this Mishnah so nicely to us, the way Shmuel explained it to his Talmidim? It's not fair. My time alone, if Ashtalan Kahalan Mile. Look how easy he just reads the Mishnah. My gosh, it's not fair. Shmuel's Talmidim have their own Kahati? How come you don't give us a nice Kahati? So it's an amazing answer, he said. Because I thought to myself, maybe you don't need a Kahati. So it's not I thought you don't. It's I thought maybe you don't. So in other words, what I'd like you to do is to use your noodles, you idiot. Now, if you're going to come and tell me you don't understand the Mishnah, fine. What, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to give it to you on a silver platter? You know, because I'm so sure that you're idiots and you don't know how to read a Mishnah? No. I have more respect for my Talmidim. Sorry. So therefore, I figured, you know, maybe my Talmidim don't need that kind of specialty pool. It's very sweet. Anyway, so now the Mishnah continues. It's Reb Eliezer. So Reb Eliezer says, but not if it was on the same day that you restarted, then you would not bring a carbon tumor. Why? Shneimar v'hayamim rishonim yiplu, and that means you've got to have yamim rishonim. If you don't have yamim rishonim, then there is no halacha of yiplu. Omar Rula, this, Rula says something very dramatic, which is very much not the way it sounds in the sugya. You should know that the only time that Reb Eliezer said that you need to have at least 2 days of restarting before you could end up losing those days is dafka in the case where the person who went ahead and made the Nazirus was in a state of tuma. That was a continuation of the Mishnah about Mishnah Zarvahu Bebeit HaKvarot. Don't think that we've dropped the sugya. It was Mishnah Zarvahu Bebeit HaKvarot. And then he went out, and he became Torah, and then he went back in. What do you think the Mishnah is giving us all of this crazy stuff for? I mean, Jeff, you want to talk about Bechlal, a general machlokas, so just fine. So just talk about a normal case, right? We have to append this to the Mishnah, Mishnah Zarbu Bebeit HaKvarot. I'm telling you, Sazula, that this whole halacha of Rebbe Eliezer only applied to a Nazir that was Nazir, his Nazirs while he was in the Bebeit HaKvarot, and then he became Tahar, and then he went back in, and then he became Tomei in a way that would be Mechayev Hayamim HaRishonim Yiplu. And over there, Rebbe Eliezer says, not if it was the first day that he restarted. But Ein Hachinami, if it was a Nazir Tahar, normal Nazir Tahar, that became Tomei, and then he became Tahar again and started. So then the idea of his initial Tumah was one day. I don't care if it was on the first day. What's the difference? That's not the Afilu Yom Echad Soter over there, even on the first day of his original Naziris. That would be perfectly okay for him to be Nova. Well, my Rava, I don't know. Wow, that is weird. But I can actually explain it. I mean, I'm not sure that he's right, Ula, but if he is right, then I can explain where Rebbe Eliezer would have gotten that from in the Pasuk. There's a remiss to that, because my time into Rebbe Eliezer, Omar Kra, because it's interesting that the Pasuk somehow finds it necessary to give it a reason. So, Vehezir la Hashem et Yemei Nizrov, this is the Pasuk that we've been analyzing. This is the closing part of that Pasuk. We're finally getting to the end of our analysis of this Pasukim over here. Vahayamim Rishonim Yiplu, Ki Tamei Nizrov. So, Mez must be, according to Ula, that the way Rebbe Eliezer was understanding the Pasuk is Ki Tamei Nizro. He made his Naziris while he was Tamei. But Ein Hachinami, had he made his Naziris like a normal Naziris? So then, where does it say Hayamim HaRishonim Yiplu? So it connects Hayamim HaRishonim Yiplu Dafka to Ki Tamei Nizro. That must be the point. Says Abaye, well, it's a very nice point, other than the unfortunate fact that it's completely and totally wrong. And I'll prove to you that it's wrong, and that there's no way that that's what Rebbe Eliezer said, because I can show you that Rebbe Eliezer says absolutely not like that. Esvi Abaye. Take a look at this brisa. Harini Nazir Me'ayom. Now, meanwhile, in bringing this brisa, we have a very important expansion that we didn't even know about before, which changes our entire understanding of the Tumah B'yom Melot. So what happens on the Tumah B'yom?
Because Rebbe's waist is straining.
Having such tzaddikim always with me is a big strain. That's why it always sounds straining. You know? It's like, Svivav Nisara Ma'od. Other people, they only have people to be with. So, Esve Abaya, and this gives us a whole new insight into the halacha we had before. Remember, we had the halacha. This is Rebbe Eliezer, for heaven's sakes. And he says that we learn out gufa from the special pasuk that says, Yom Melot Yemei Nizro. If somebody becomes Tameh on the Yom Melot, give him Yemei Nizro. So then that means that according to him, if there's a tumah on the Yom Melot, it doesn't matter how long the Naziris is for, it could be for 10 years. If the Yom Melot itself becomes Tameh, he keeps another 30 days, but only 30 days. Now that exists side by side with this idea of Hayamim HaRishonim Yiplu. Now, until now, I mean, one was referring to the beginning and one was referring to the end. There's no connection between the two, right? So you need to have Hayamim HaRishonim, there need to be 2 days in the beginning. And then we have this other pasuk that's telling me that if he's Nitpam B'yom Melos, Tein Lo Torat Nazir. Okay, if that's the case, then this throws a completely new thing, a drasha, into our understanding. So it says in the Brisa like this. Somebody says, Harini Nazir Me'ayom. And he becomes Tomei right at the beginning of that Me'ayom. First day. Yochol Yehei Soters, you might think that he loses that day. Nope. Talmud Lomar Hayamim HaRishonim Yiplu. Now this is Rebbe Eliezer. And it says, you need to have days that are Yiplu. Now you see right away, right at this stage, you see right away that Ula is wrong, right? Because we're talking about over here a case where the guy made a neder b'tahira, and then he became tamei on day one. And Rabbi Eliezer uses his drasha of hayamim arishonim yiplu on this case, which Ula said, no, Rabbi Eliezer never said it on this case. So you can forget about Ula. That's what Abaye says. Just forget about Ula, because it's obviously wrong. But okay, once we already started the brisa, let's read through it and see the other chidushim that come with this brisa, and then, of course, Abaye will conclude his proof against Ula. So you might think it would be Saiser, Tamad Lomar, Yamim Rishonim Yiplu. He needs to have Yamim Rishonim, and he doesn't have Yamim Rishonim over here. Only has one day. Now here's the brand new idea. Suppose he became Tamei on the last day of his days. Now, the last day of his days, Yochu Yehei Soter, you might think that that would cancel all of the days. Tamud Lomar, brilliant drasha. Hayamim Arishonim Yiplu. Does that not imply the first days will be lost, and what will remain is the last days? But what if there aren't last days? What if there's only a last day? So then it doesn't apply. So in the same way that you need the Yamim HaRishonim, you need the Yamim HaAcharonim. Brilliant. In which case, according to Rabbi Eliezer, there needs to be at least 2 days at the end also. And this guy doesn't have 2 days at the end, and therefore he cannot lose all of his days. Nitma b'yom me'ach haser echad. Now, however, suppose he became Tomei on day 99. So you might think that that also is not sufficient. Tamud omar yamim arishonim, michladi karchonim, v'zeyeshlo rishonim v'acharonim. Now, this seems to completely ignore the other din that Rabbi Eliezer said, which was tein lo torat nazir, in the event that he becomes tamei biyom alot. I mean, so which one is the binding drasha over here? This is very strange. So the Rush explains they're both binding drushes, and they actually need each other. Because the truth is, if you wouldn't have known the effect that there is tein lo torat nazir, then obviously I would have said, based on this, that there's nothing. He doesn't have to make up anything because there's no Yomim HaAcharonim. On the other hand, let's say if it would have said the Yom HaAcharonim, I say, so what do I need that for? Since I already know that it says B'Yom Melot, Tein Lo Torat Nazir, then I would have thought that the Yom Melot would mean even day 101, because day 101 is the day that you bring the actual Korbanos, and that indeed would be considered to be Soser. No, it's referring to day 100, and the day 100 is not enough to be Soser HaKol, and over there you would still only have your other drush of Shloshim Yom. So we need both of the Limudim, Titus the Rush. But anyway, meanwhile, says Abayab, as you can see, this proves that Ula is wrong, because this Brisa is talking about a regular guy who said Areni Nazir Mea Yom, not somebody who was in a Beit HaKvarot. You can't get away with trying to tell me that this case of Rabbi Eliezer is referring to a case of a guy who made his Aziris in the Beit HaKvarot, because the Braisa says, the man said, Areni Nazir Mea Venitma Betchilas Mea. So in other words, obviously he was originally Tahar, and he accepted it, and on that day he was Nitma Betchilas Mea, on day one. But not that he was Tomei at the time that he accepted it. And nonetheless, here is where Rabbi Eliezer gives his drasha, which according to Ula, he never said on this case. Supposedly, he only said it on a case where the guy was originally Mekabel as Naziris in the Beit HaKvarot, and then he went back in and started again, blah, blah, blah. No, wrong, absolutely wrong. Woo-hoo, says the Gemara, you're right, to Yufta. This is absolutely impossible to learn Ula. So now we're back to Rabbi Eliezer the way that we always understood Rabbi Eliezer. Now, these days, you're talking about these days. I'm not sure what you mean by days. I mean, is days full days, or is days day two? So do you mean day one that has now slipped into day two, so now he becomes Tomei, so now you have days? Or do you actually mean that it has to be full days, so then it would mean day two going into day three? I'm not sure what you mean. So is it enough a chad, a matchilin train? It means that day one passed with whatever, you know, that day one is always whatever time is left on day one when you're Mekabel your Naziris. And now you're into day two. So now we look at it as 2 days, meaning 2 part days, only 1 full day maybe. Or maybe you mean, no, that you actually had 2 days, and now the third day has begun. Now we can look at it, now that it was at least one full day. So, okay, so we look at it as the second day of the full day. So Abai didn't know how to answer that. Lo habibiyadeh. So Rav Papa went to ask Rava. Ata shayle la Rava. Rava said to him, well, look at the language. The language is yiplu. Now, the Rambam's understanding of this is totally different than the understanding of the other Mefarshim. I mean, he takes the Gemara very kipshutai, but because of that, he has a different girsa, clearly, in the continuation. And he says, yiplu means two. So it must mean there must at least be two, and not one, which is the exact opposite of what everybody else concludes, and it's the exact opposite of the way that the Gemara continues on, at least in our girsa. So basically, the way that the Rosh understands is that Rav is tining that even if I wouldn't have said Rishonim, the word yiplu would have meant that there were more than one day that fell. So if you're going to tell me Hayamim Harishonim, so there are two, then if you're telling me yiplu, so it must mean even pieces, not a full day, even pieces of day. So that means even if it's the second day, yiplu, and therefore I can read yiplu as being plural, despite the fact that I would have already known from Yamim Harishonim, you see, so it's adding something. That's how the Rosh understands it, and if this is the case, then the next piece of the Gemara follows correctly according to the way we have the Girsa here. V'itzrich l'michtav yamim, v'itzrich l'michtav yiplu. I need to have both plurals, okay? Because if the Torah had said yamim without yiplu, I would say, okay, so then the idea of yamim might be full days. So you would need to have 2 days going into 3 days. Now, this is the opposite of the Rambam, right? The Rambam is the one that says on the contrary. That's actually what it is proving. So have I been an African trade violent tlata? Therefore, it says yiplu. If it would have said yiplu without yamim, I would have said this. So then that's possible, even if it's on the first day. And yiplu would not mean his days. Yiplu would mean Nazirim in general that have become Tamei. Their first days will be yiplu. All of those millions of Nazirim that have lost their first day, that's a Lashon Rabbim. But it doesn't mean your first days, and maybe you only have 1 day. Therefore, I need to know that there are Yamim Rishonim, and I need to know Yiplu. So therefore, it must be the second day, minimum of the second day. Now, the Rambam obviously had the Girsa Hafuch, because he says it needs to be the third day, actually. And Yiplu means the double Lashon. Excellent. Now, we are ready.
What do you tell a person on his 120th birthday? Have a nice day. Appropriate for this stuff. It's not mine. It's a famous one.
I know it is, but the fact that you think it's appropriate for this stuff is definitely you.
It's the last day of the hunt.
I know. What a stretch. Anyway, has Doc disappeared again? Just when we're about to... No, he's here. There we go. Every time we're about to break into your house for that Malava Malka, suddenly we find your picture is missing. All right, get our Mishnah going. Ah, that nice strip down to the line reality of Lita. Always a pleasure. So now this is a very interesting issue because we discuss what happens when somebody makes a Naziris while he's in a Beit HaKvarot. Unfortunately, everyone living in Chutz La'aretz is, for all intents and purposes, living in a Beit HaKvarot. And therefore, the question is, well, this is not just metaphorical, because remember that the Chachomim were gozer Tuma on Eretz Ha'amim. And that Tuma is a type of Tuma Smeis, min Rabbona. And they did this because of the chashash. You know, I mean, there's always a mechanism. The mechanism is the chashash that the goyim bury loosely without, especially all those nuns with all of those miscarriages. So you got to have a place to bury everything. Anyway, so therefore, because of that, they were gozer tuma al Eretz Ha'amim. But now the question is someone who made a Naziris in Eretz Ha'amim the equivalent of someone who made a Naziris in a Beit HaKvarot? And if it is, so then the original days don't count, as we said before in the Mishnah. So what's the halacha? Turns out, it's a machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Misha nazar nizirut harbe. Somebody did not nizirut harbe, not nizirut harbe, but nizirut harbe, meaning a long nizirut. So it was, let's say, a year-long nizirut, right? And he was outside of Eretz Yisrael. Now when he's mashlim, his nizirut, well, he has no choice but to come to Eretz Yisrael to bring his korbanos. V'achakach bala aretz. So he shows up in Eretz Yisrael. Says Beit Shammai, well, no matter how long the nazirus was for, he only has to keep a nazirus of 30 days before he can bring his karbonas. Because really, midiraisa, he's not tamei, obviously, because the whole din of tumas eretz ha'amim is a drabonon. But because of the fact that the drabonon were kenes him for keeping nazirus in a makom tuma, even though it's only a drabonon, so memela they told him keep shloshim yom as a knas. And then you can bring your korbanos. You're going to be over on Bal Ta'acher. Fine. So that's a shevi al tasa. And the rabbanon have a right to tell you not to do what you're supposed to do because of a knas. So that's what they did. Beit Hillel says, no. It's exactly the same as ming nozer in a Beit HaKfarot. And there was actually a maisa like this. Poor Helini Amalka, who was a gioret, and her son went off to war. And she said, if my son comes back, b'shlemus, from the milchama, I am going to be nazira for 7 days. And her son actually did. Uba b'nam in a milchama, and she kept 7 years of naziras. At the end of 7 years, she comes to Eretz Yisrael to bring her korbanos. And Beis Hillel says, well, sorry, but you're going to have to wait another 7 years. So it's going to take you some time to get back home. Anyway, so she had to wait another 7 years in order to bring her korbanos, but on the last day of her 7 years, she became tamea. Oh my God. So now she's got to keep another 7 years. And therefore, she turned out to be a nazira for 21 years. Whew. Oh my gosh. Rabbi Yehuda says, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. No, lo hayta nazira ba'as reshana. She was only a nazira for 14 years. Now, we're not quite sure. Is Rabbi Yehuda challenging the facts about whether she became tamei? Is he challenging the psak and saying that it's actually we should be going only to Beit Shammai and not according to Beit Hillel? It's not clear what he said, and the Gemara is going to help us to understand it. So first of all, what exactly is the machlokas, do you think, between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel? So our first take on this is that it's a machlokas about how to define the nature of the gezeira of Tumat Eretz Ha'amim. Now, fascinatingly, there's two completely different gersos about how to read the machlokas. So there are two approaches to Tumat Eretz Ha'amim, which we've seen in many contexts. One is that the gezer of Tumat Eretz Ha'amim is Mishum Gusha. It's because of the actual dirt of the Eretz Ha'amim that may include remains, human remains. And the other is it's Mishum Avira. And that is that the gezeira is even exposure to the space of Eretz Ha'amim. And there's two ways of understanding that. So here's the question. If it's Mishum Gusha, so one way of understanding Mishum Gusha is that there would not be a tuma of Ohel, because it's only if you come into contact with the Gush. But Shenken, if it's Avira, then there would even be Tumas Ohel. The other explanation is very, very different. This is the way the Rush understands it, that the din of Avira is a brand new type of tuma. It does not mean exposure to the Ohel, because an Ohel is not Avira. An Ohel is where you pass over some remains, right? Or the remains are in the same building or the same tefach as the Dover Tahar or the person whose Tahar is. But Avira would mean that even if you helicoptered in, which would have protected you from Tuma, and that's what we were talking about yesterday, that's the din of Shita Teva of Hamigdal, where you helicopter over a mace, or Beis HaKfaros. In this case, once you're exposed to the space of Eretz Ha'amim, even if it's not an Ohel, you're Chayiv. Not Chayiv, you're Tomei. So now the question is, if it's actually this new concept of Tumas Avir, no one is going to confuse that with a serious Tumas Ohel, because there's no such thing. And they're going to understand that, well, I mean, this isn't a D'oraisa, This is, you know, some weird new halacha, and therefore it doesn't really have any implications about the dinim of Naziris at all, because everybody knows that the dinim of Naziris are very, very specific in terms of what Tuma is going to be mechayev. So let's take a look at the two ways, the two girsa'ot that we have over here in the sugya. First, we'll take the girsa as we have it, then we'll take the girsa as the Rosh has it, which is exactly the opposite. So, says the Gemara, okay, according to the Mishnah, so first Beit Shammai says, Shloshim Yom, and Beit Hillel says, no, you have to do the whole thing over again. So it would appear, says the Gemara, the Lema Baka Miflegei, that Beit Shammai holds, look, the whole Gezeira on Eretz Ha'amim was obviously not that we're really afraid that you were exposed to the kind of Tumas Meis that would affect you in an Oihel, because they only were Gozer Mishum Gusha. It's only if you're touching something on the ground, and there were, you were worried about Tumat Maga, we're not talking about Tumas Oihel, so that we wouldn't be worried about it. So, in the case that you became Tame there, so then, if that's the case, then the Rabbanan are not being very machmir, right? And therefore, it's not so much of a chumra. And because of that, we're going to be mekel. Because if only the gush is tameh, so they didn't really make things so bad. And if you helicoptered in, it shouldn't be a problem, and so on and so forth. So therefore, Beit Shammai says, look, you see that the chachamim were not that machmir. And because of that, probably then there's no reason to say the whole thing. And they were mekel also on the tuma that they're giving as a knas that you should make up. So they said 30 days, whatever the original term of the Naziris was. Which Beis Hillel says, no, this is a very chamur tuma. It's a new tuma called Tumas Avir. And therefore, it's very chamur. And therefore, Beis Hillel says, if they're going to be that machmir, so then we should actually be machmir, that he should have to keep the whole thing from the beginning. Okay, this is our girsa. Now, the Rosh is exactly the opposite girsa. So according to that, it was Beit Shammai who said that it's Mishum Avir, and Beis Hillel who says that it's Mishum Gush. And that Beit Shammai was saying, well, since it's clearly not a normal kind of Tuma, because there's no such thing as a Tumas Avir anywhere else, there's only Tuma of Oyel. But if you would helicopter in, there shouldn't be any Tuma. So everybody immediately understands that this halacha is obviously a Takana de Rabbanan, and because of that, they'll understand that 30 days is just to remind you that there's an Inyan of Tuma, but nobody's going to confuse this with a Nazir really being Tame, and then he'll make the mistake of thinking that you're only Tame for 30 days. Why would he think that? He knows this is a crazy situation. There was nothing that could possibly have made you Tame. You were in a helicopter. What made you Tame? Must be that there's this new halacha of Tumas Avir. Masha Enken, according to Beis Hillel, since, according to Beis Hillel, the only Takana is in terms of gush, which includes the oihel over the gush. So it's basically a base, one big fat Beit HaKvarot. And then if you only gave him tuma of a knas of 30 days, people will say, oh, so you mean there's only a din of 30 days if you become tummy while you're an azir? And they would lose their halacha of hayamim harishanim yiplu, which in this case was 7 years. So because of that, Reis Hillel said, you have no choice. You're going to have to be machmir all the way. Says the Gemara, nah, you don't have to say it's dependent on that. It could be that everybody is meida mishum gusha gozru, and Beit Shammai says, listen, the point is the Rabbanu made a knas. So the knas is stam naziris. That a normal naziris of 30 days is enough to remind people of the chumra of Eretz Amim and so on. But it's not that there's a real chashash that they're going to think that that's the din of a nazir. Whereas Beit Hillel Savre, ki kinsina bitchilas naziris. It's like what we do with every other type. We can't distinguish between this yamim rishonim yiplu, and because of that, we're going to be machmir to give the entire time. I mean, but you can't jump to the conclusion that necessarily it's a fundamental argument about the nature of the Tumah v'Eretz Amim. That does not necessarily follow. And then we get at last to the story of the Heleni Hamalka and Reb Yehuda's disagreement. Reb Yehuda says that it's Davka 14 years for some reason. We're not quite sure why he says that. So, Iboilo, what exactly is this Machlokas over? According to Reb Yehuda, is that he's saying, no, it couldn't have been that long because she only needed to keep another 30 days because he paskins like Beit Shammai. And therefore, I understand that if she was keeping that extra 30 days, then that would have been making her Naziris now still in effect for another 30 days, right? And then if she became Tameah during that 30-day period, so then she would have to keep the entire 7 years, because that would be the same as becoming Tameah during the period of her additional Naziris, which would have given her 14 years, Misach HaKol. So, I mean, so you'll say, well, what about, you know, what about the 30 days? Well, I mean, it could have been sometime before the end. You know, maybe she arrived 30 days before the end. I don't know. So maybe those 30 days were already incorporated in the time that she was keeping in Naziris Taira. So basically, it was only going to boil down, according to Beit Shammai, it was only going to boil down to 14 years. And maybe that's what he's saying. That's one way of understanding. Or maybe he's simply saying, No, the story is 100% true. Beis Hillel told her she has to keep another 7 years, but this business about her getting Tameah, that's just an extra dramatization, really. I mean, you really think at the end of 14 years, you know, now she's becoming Tameah, come on. It's too good to be true. So, this story was, you know, it's true, but not the last part. So maybe that's all he was saying, that she never did become Tameah, and it's going a little bit of Beit Hillel. And they're just arguing about the facts. But it has nothing to do with the halacha. It's not that he's paskening that, no, it's wrong to think there was machlokas Beit Hillel Beit Shammai. No, that's not true. Well, if you take a look at the Mishnah, I think you'll see the answer. Al tala aretz v'horua Beit Hillel shetein zira od sheva shanim acherot. And then at that end of that period. Now, why are we mentioning this? What's the point of mentioning this? Because what it's telling me is that what happened over here is that it happened at the very end of the 7 years. That's the point. So if it did happen, then, I mean, it doesn't make sense to say Rabbi Yehuda argues. It says, no, it didn't happen on the very end. It happened sometime in the middle. It also happened at the end. But even if he holds like Beit Shammai and it happened at the end, it would have added 30 days to the story. And then why would Rabbi Yehuda have said 14 years? He would have had to say 14 years plus 30 days. If he's coming to tell me that the halacha is like Beit Shammai, because what you were saying is that, well, you know, you don't know when it happened, but we do know when it happened because he wasn't arguing about that point. And the story as defined in the Mishnah was that it really happened at the end. So Isaac Adaitach B'shinit Meit Alibra Beit Shammai. So then why does Rabbi Yehuda say, Lo Aitan Zira Ela Arba Asre Shana, which is simply not true. It would only be he would have had to mention Beferish. I mean, and that would have made it clear what we're talking about, right? He would have had to mention Beferish that what we're talking about is Alibet Beit Shammai, and it was extended by 30 days. Now, this next piece is taken out by most of the Rishonim. So the Tanya Nami Hawkins, until the Mishnah, is not Goros. I'll be Tosfos and many of the other Rishonim, it doesn't really make all that much sense, but there is a way to read it. So we could, if you want to, we don't really have much time left, but let's just take a look at what it might mean in, if it's Tanya Nami Hachi, Rabbi Yudom, Rabbi Shum, Rabbi Eliezer, that Zot Torat HaNazir. When it says over, remember, Rabbi Eliezer, the end of Rabbi Eliezer says, is that since it says in the Pasuk, this Pasuk, the Omar Krah, Zot Torat HaNazir, the Torah is always saying that if the Tumah was B'yom Malot, Tein Lo Torat Nazir. So that would mean that if Rabbi Yehuda buys into Rabbi Eliezer, that whenever you have the time being longer than the normal Naziris, 31 days or 30 years, whatever it is, then the Tumah on the Malos would anyway not be Machai of you anything more than 30 days. So therefore, what could you say? That Rabbi Yehuda is telling me that according to me, actually what happened to Eleni Malka is that she became Tameah at the very end of the 30 days, which according to Beit Shammai, if the time that she was supposed to be in Nazira was 30 days, then basically, well, you would never have come up with how would you get 14 years? Because even if she was Tamei on the last day, that would have been Yom Alot and would have added just another 30 days because of this Deoraisa, right? Because we see that Rabbi Yehuda holds of Rabbi Eliezer. So then it still wouldn't make any sense because it would only be 7 years plus 60 days, not 14 years, no matter what you do. And it wouldn't matter where you manage to put the 30 days. There would be no way to get, if it were the last day, there would be no way to get 14 years anyway. Because if I didn't know that Rabbi Yehuda agreed with Rabbi Eliezer's drasha about Tein lo Torat Nazir, fine. But and the Zot Torat Nazir, he himself quotes it. So obviously there's no way to get to 14. And that's why this Braita supports the approach that we just took. That no. The question was, did she become Tamei or not? But he was certainly paskening Aliba de Beit Hillel. Okay, Rabotai, that brings us up to the next Halakha Mishnah, which we're going to wait for Doc tomorrow, maybe, huh? Well, we'll see what happens on a Sunday. I know about never on a Sunday, but all right. But look at this. We did manage to delay Doc long enough to allow the portal to Doc's Malava Malka to remain open long enough for us to all pour in there. Shavuot Tov, everybody. Besorot Tovot. It's wonderful being with you on this Mitzvah Shabbos. Hinei El Yeshuati. Eftach v'lo efchad. See you, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow with God's help.